looking for something. A new way, a new understanding, a connection, some comfort. You've got questions, and Light on Living puts the spotlight on all the answers so you can shine. Lift and lighten the load of life's challenges and learn simple and easy ways to live a healthy, happy life. You'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you. You're invited to hear new, see different, and feel more as Lisa shines the light on living.
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to Light on Living. I'm Light Coach Lisa, holistic nutritionist and life coach, helping to lighten the load of life's challenges. And this is week 4 of our entire month for self-love. And we have gone all over the map with self-love. And today we're just another spot, another destination. And this one's a really interesting one. I'd like to offer a word, even though this is not the theme word, this is my theme word I'm dedicating to it today, is I think it's tenderness. And I want to share that. And I want to just say a little word about tenderness. It's because we go through some tough spots in life, and there's many moments that we come up to and we think, are you kidding me? Or they're just so painful, or they're very joyful, and we're just so elated. I mean, there's so much to go through, and none of us are surprised, because we do need to experience this contrast. Whether we're, you know, my guest today and I will be sharing everything about contrast, you know, light and dark, heavy and light, and ups and downs. But really, the word for today, it's actually more of a statement. It is, we are going to be talking about how surrender has a huge part in our self-love, but we're also going to be talking about what shape we're left in, what shape are we in when we do need to surrender, and why we surrender, and what happens after we surrender. So today, as we still continue on, really, really going through all the wonderful sections and titles and chapters of the book, What Self-Love Got to Do with It, because I want everybody to make sure they get their copy this month, especially. And we have Nicole Jacobs here. And I'm going to read you a little bit about Nicole Jacobs. And I just love how she's like a shape changer, too, because as soon as she realizes, hey, what's going on here? This is not in alignment with what my happiness is really going to bring to me. What do I need to do to change the shape of this so it's a little bit better for me? So we're going to all really enjoy listening to her. So Nicole Jacobs is a devout Catholic, wife, and mother. Nicole Jacobs has lived most of her life in the shadows, where she felt safe. At the age of 35, she decided to step out into the light of the world and inspire others with her amazing story of overcoming difficult life circumstances and weakened mindset. That's already a real mindset. Her career as a registered dental hygienist has helped her to get out of her shell and become more extroverted, allowing her to build quality relationships more easily. Oh, those two words are so lovely, quality and easily. Oh, I love you, Nicole. her career as an entrepreneur with a health and wellness company has opened doors for her to extend her outreach. Deciding to become a serious entrepreneur, and that's important too, Nicole knew that intense personal development and retrospection was a must. She worked on strengthening her mindset, becoming more vulnerable, and sharing her life's journey with others. Nicole's life goals of becoming both a rising author and motivational public speaker are culminating this year, 2018, because of her boldness. And why you're bold, Nicole. Hello and welcome. You know, Nicole, as we jump right into here, I of course this word is here, vulnerable, because as we share the word surrender, I'm going to ask you to start there, actually. What does the word surrender mean to you?
Surrender. I like to think of that. I like to just kind of get in my core for a moment and think,
yeah,
you know, beyond the surface of what surrender really means. I'm so happy to be here right now. Like, I feel like I'm going to cry. So if I cry, it's joyful tears, because I just cannot believe that I'm here in this moment from where I've been. But I had to surrender 35 years of grasping on to a false identity. I had to surrender that, you know, I'm not going to be in control of everything. I can't control every circumstance around me. I can't control those around me. I can't take full control of my mind unless I surrender, unless I just give it over to God, give him my pain, allow God and the universe to just work through me, allow me to see that deep stuff in my subconscious that was buried ever since birth. And just to surrender to who I'm really meant to be, and just to give myself permission to allow things to be easy, to allow myself to be happy. I just had to surrender that it's not all up to me. I don't have to have all the answers. So I do have the answers that are right inside of me. It's just a matter of quit fighting the process and just allow those answers to come to me.
I love that. That there was a lot wrapped into there. And oh my goodness, I can go into five different directions, but I want the one thing that really caught me was you said to allow myself to be happy. And now that is huge, because why do we not allow? Why do we stop ourselves? Why do we prevent ourselves to be happy and create such a struggle? Like, what's why would we even do that? Like, by nature, that sounds so not nice.
Just not feeling deserving. I don't know if it was really a thought that my being happy, I think in a way I felt like my being happy would be being selfish. Mm. And I just felt like, I remember even going into my kindergarten classroom and being scared to death when my mom left me. And just like, I craved attention. I just wanted people to love me and attract me. And gosh, I feel like I'm getting way off now. I think I just felt like I didn't deserve happiness. You know, everybody else deserved happiness around me. The other kids deserve to fit in. They deserve to feel secure and, you know, grounded. And I didn't. I just, you know, from an early impressionable age, I just took on these mixed messages that were never meant for me. And I just felt like I didn't deserve it, or that maybe being happy would be selfish. Like, it just was not my place in the world to be happy.
And that is so interesting. And it's actually sad, but I'm so glad you came around from there, too. I'm so glad that, you know, you've come so far. But that's where I really, when I was reading your chapter, it went through some really deep and heavy things. And really deep and heavy, and why I say that is because when we hold on to a belief, which is a thought that we have thought over and over and over and has, like, adopted it, it becomes the shape of you, of your life, of your mindset. And you were so young to have taken on that shape. Like, you were in rough shape, you know? and so many people do. And actually, it's funny that you talk about kindergarten, because that's a really exciting and vulnerable time. Because what was it that you remember even being that young, that how would you even know that you would want to be accepted or not? Did you know that then, or is that just something that you're looking back now?
I think there was, I knew, I mean, I remember seeing the kids, and I remember being so excited the day that I was chosen to go to the cafeteria and get the milk to bring down to the kids, because, like, every day one of the students would be chosen, it was like a big deal, you know, you want to be the one to go get the milk. And I just remember feeling so proud, and just, like, walking down the stairs with that tray, trying so hard not to embarrass myself, not to spill that milk everywhere off that tray, and just thinking, I have to do this perfectly. This is my moment. And just, like, just wanting kids to look at me and just, you know, yay, she got some milk, you know. And it was just like, I really wanted approval.
And what I hear there too, like, approval, yes, but, like, appreciation, like, without you, we wouldn't have this, or without you, this experience wouldn't be possible. And that, that actually shows to me that you, you had beautiful self-love, but, like you said, you just couldn't imagine other people loved you too. And that's just something that I want to ask you about that, because, and I know we haven't even got into the story, which is fine, because that's how it goes. But because a lot of people will recognize, like, sometimes I'll think, I'll go, well, I know I have self-love, but yet I'll do something that would display as if I didn't, like, wanting that so desperately to be approved by others, or something like, did anybody like my Facebook post? You know, something like,
oh, no, yeah.
I'm now wondering, and I think you're helping me right now, is because there's one thing is the approval, but there's another word to be appreciation. And appreciates means that you've bettered an experience. Like, even think about money, how something appreciates in value. And I think that's it. We just want to make someone else's life so much better because we know what that feels like to feel good.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, just to see somebody's face light up and just say thank you to you and to truly mean it, just to know that, you know, like you're serving a purpose, even in some small way, to give value to others. There's just something really intrinsically wonderful about that and about that feeling.
You know, it's so interesting. So you've written in this book, you've also written in another book.
Oh, I'm sorry. What was that?
Oh, the Mom Boss. You're in the Mom Boss as well, right?
Oh, I'm actually not in the Mom Boss. This is my very first writing.
This is the very first one. Oh, you're so much a mom. You've got a big family. So this is big for you. So you really did you? So in your chapter in What Self Love Got to Do with It, as you were writing, you come to a very pivotal moment for you. And can you talk about that moment right there and what you had to go through?
Are you referring to last October when I kind of just plateaued?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, I guess it was just kind of a downward spiral for a long time, one that I didn't really recognize. I think just like all 35 years of my life, just, you know, trying to hide from who I truly was, trying to mask that I had pain, pretending that everything was okay with me when it wasn't. You know, I really clung to like toxic friendships, and I didn't realize at the time they were toxic. I would draw people into my life who were controlling and who would belittle me, even like, you know, on a very light level. And I thought I had gotten past, you know, all the heartache in my life that I went through in grade school and high school of, you know, being ridiculed and made fun of, hiding, trying to like hide away from everybody. I thought I'd gotten past that because I had become a dental hygienist. You know, I'd got my bachelor's degree, graduated with honors. I was making good money. I was extroverted. And I thought I had gotten past all that. And it was just, I chose to release a toxic friend in my life. And she said, you know, she said the words to me, "Good luck, Nicole. I feel sorry for you." And she had previously insisted, she had gotten angry with me because we didn't talk as much. I had backed away from that friendship because I just felt very like smothered and controlled. And so because of that, she said, because we weren't talking as much, I wasn't the good friend that she thought I was. I was still her friend, but not a good friend. But she kind of made it sound like, I should be worthy to just even have some level of friendship with her. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, well, you know, I just stood up for myself and I was like, well, this is just, you know. And she said, "Good luck, Nicole. I feel sorry for you." And it was something about those words that just pierced my heart. Mm-hmm. And "I feel sorry for you. I feel sorry for you." It just played over and over. And the more I listened to those words, the more I realized I felt sorry for me. I felt sorry for me. I was causing pain to those around me. Like when my kids would cry, I felt like it was my fault. If my husband was stressed, it was my fault. You know, things that weren't true, but that I just felt like, I feel sorry for me. I'm causing people so much pain. And I tried to fight it. And the more I fought it, the worse it got, to the point where I was waking up in the middle of the night with my heart pounding, my blood pressure through the roof, having like horrible, horrible suicidal thoughts. And it just got worse, and it got more intense. And then, so that was my really, really low point. I remember dropping my kids off with my mom and coming back home and just feeling like I was just doing them a real disservice by being in their life. And it was because I loved my kids so much, I felt like I was causing them pain, and they would be better off without me. But I remember I drove past the church, and I thought maybe I'll be seeing my kids for the very last time, and it broke my heart. It broke my heart. And I saw a church sign, and it said, "Don't point your finger, reach out your hand." And to me, that was God saying, "You need help. You need to reach out your hand. You have been fighting this. You need help. You need to admit that you need help." And so I came home. My husband was at work. He was patrolling. So he's a police officer. And I called him, and I just told him, you know, just really honestly. And I was really embarrassed and ashamed to admit it to him, you know, and I was like, I'm having suicidal thoughts. And he was just really calm, and, you know, he just kind of assured me everything's going to be okay. And and I pulled up my Facebook, and I had recently met a girl named Carly Black, who she and her mom have been extremely instrumental in getting me back on track and helping me to find who I am through some natural self-help tools, emotional freedom techniques, meditation, things like that. And I just started talking to her and pouring my heart out to her. We've actually met in a mom entrepreneur group, and it wasn't by chance. I mean, these relationships, even that we build on social media, are not by chance. You know, it's all, we are all brought together for a reason and for a bigger purpose. And so she was just, you know, she told me about her struggles that she had been through, you know, very similarly with depression and anxiety. And she connected me with her mom. And, you know, her mom could hear the anxiety in my voice the very first time I talked about a domestic violence incident from the age of two. And she's like, okay, she's like, you right now, I can feel this bad energy, you know, I can feel the anxiety in you. And she had me kind of tap underneath my eye while I was talking to her just so I could get through that story. Mm-hmm. And I just started working with her. I was like, I was just ready. I didn't want to end my life. I didn't want to go down that road. And I just surrendered and allowed her to help me. And
I love that you just said that right there, because this is perfect, because we'll have to go to commercial in like 10 seconds, but I love that you said that because you were ready. And I want, when we come back, well, I want to talk about the shape we're in when we're ready and the shape we're in mm-hmm. when we're ready to surrender. So when we come back, we'll do that.
Okay.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Enjoy passive income benefits while creating a cottage experience for others. From a relaxing getaway to connecting with nature, sitting around flickering campfire light, dipping in cool, refreshing waters, strengthening your body with biking, hiking, boating, and swimming. And you have the cottage that could be a part of all of those memories while earning you money. Financial abundance as a thank you for renting your cottage. Become a cottage rental owner today, safely and supported. RentCottage.com.
Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, and of course, companionship. Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
Fantastic cat. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Well, hello, everybody. It's Lisa Berry. You're here with Light on Living. We have got Nicole Jacobs, and she is a co-author in What Self-Love Got to Do with It, with an incredible chapter on some really deep emotional places that she's gone and has left and returned and gone, come back. And she's really come full circle, and she's used the big word of being able to surrender, to get herself out of some dark places. And it was kind of neat because Nicole and I have been able to chat back and forth a little bit. And I just love her way of viewing the contrast between the light and the dark, and to actually respect and be grateful for them both, because they do add that dimension that we need to our lives to see. And before we went to commercial break, we're talking about, I was talking about where, like, I really love thinking about it's when people, they have to look at the shape of their life. What's the state? Like, what state is my life? What shape is my life? And what shape is my body? What shape is my bank account? And what shape is my family in? And I really feel that, Nicole, you really take a look at what shape is my emotional mindset, and where am I sitting? And you were sitting in that dark place. And I want to ask you, when you saw the sign, and I love that saying so much, so when you point the finger, it's not that you need to point the finger, it's that you need to reach out your hand. That's so very powerful. And right at that time, and then you reached out and everything, and you were feeling so vulnerable. I mean, that's scary, but there was something in you, because you had the will, the desire, the want to keep living and experiencing for your family and for yourself. Mm-hmm. And you said you were starting to tap. So we just learned about tapping last week on the shows. Is that something that you use often, is the EFT tapping?
Yes, on a daily basis. It's very rare that I go a whole day without tapping. The biggest thing for me is I'm a pretty stubborn person. So a lot of times when I'll feel my anxiety rising in my body, I'll feel myself getting ungrounded. Like, say I'm doing my dishes and my kids are screaming and I'm starting to get anxious. I just tend to want to keep doing the dishes and fight through it instead of just taking that moment right then and saying this can wait and start tapping. Right. But when I do, it's completely transformational. And I'm like, you know, I'm able to just quickly calm myself, be happier, more calm with my kids. I have more clarity. And I always think, why didn't I stop earlier and tap? Because everything is flowing now. But I always just want to, like, well, I'll just do it later. I'm going to keep doing the dishes. It has to be done. So for me, it's just, I've got to just force myself to let go of all that minor stuff and just take care of me in the moment.
Yeah. Actually, I was going to ask, do your kids tap? Have you taught them tapping?
And I have taught my 10-year-old girl how to tap. And so whenever she gets anxious, she does get anxious a lot. My 3-year-old son has high-functioning autism. And so a lot of times, you know, when he's screaming and having meltdowns and stuff, it's starting to affect her. And she will get nervous. And especially in the car, he has a lot of meltdowns in the car, and she'll get nervous. And I'll tell her, just tap. I'm like, Taylor, just tap, start tapping. And so she's really starting to catch on to that. And my 3-year-old, he's familiar with the tapping points. He will not go to bed without me tapping on him. And it has to be mommy. Mommy has to tap on him. And he'll take my fingers, and he'll guide them wherever he is wanting relief. Like, it's usually under the nose or on the chin, but he'll just kind of guide my hand to where he wants me to tap on him, and I can see him getting slumbery-eyed, and then he'll say, good night.
Well, that's so beautiful, and it's so good that you listened to it, because we don't always have the words, and you even recognizing when you were little, like in kindergarten or going through school, that, you know, you didn't have that outlet, you didn't have a tool, you didn't have something like that, and he's able to show you. Oh, I think that's so beautiful. Oh, my gosh.
It is.
So when you did get to me, so you meditate, you do tapping, are those the two biggest things that you do, or you've got some other techniques up your sleeve?
Well, I'm a Christian, so I pray a lot, and often I'll pray and I'll ask, you know, God and the Holy Spirit to guide me through my tapping and my meditation. I'll usually tap first, and a lot of times I'll start out, I don't even really know what is in my subconscious. I don't know what is bothering me. I'll just know that I feel anxious, and I'll start to feel pain in my body. And so I'll just tap until something comes up. And oftentimes it's something minor from my childhood that I maybe have forgotten about. And I'll just kind of go with it. And I'll just tap, and I'll feel that pain in my body. And I'll focus on that pain and what I'm feeling. And, you know, if I'm angry, I'll let the anger come out. And I just keep tapping until my amygdala, which controls the fight or flight response, when it calms down, when it tells me that it's safe, and then I'll feel the pain released in my body, And then I just start to feel grounding. And so then I'll usually go into, there's four different meditation techniques that I use, but I'll usually go into grounding. And I like to do that a lot barefoot in the grass. I'm actually walking around in my backyard in the grass right now with my kitty cat. But and I just kind of, I just focus on sending all those negative thoughts, those lies that I've told myself, into the ground. Like I just send it all inch by inch and feel it leaving. And then I just pull up whatever I'm needing at the moment, you know, and that's when I'll say my affirmations, because the affirmations work, you know, after you break through your subconscious with the EFT, then you're able to really allow an affirmation to take hold on you.
Yeah, I love that you actually used the word, and then right after it followed it with, as you said, if I have a negative thought, and then, oh gosh, I'm losing my train. You said about a negative thought, and then to clear it, so it gets causing pain. And it's so interesting, because really, when somebody's feeling and experiencing a negative thought, it is painful because it's not our true self. We're having, oh, I know, it's a belief. And it's like, why did I believe these lies? That's the word. And there we go. Mm-hmm. I've walked myself through that. See, sometimes we don't know what we're trying to say. We've got to walk yourself. But when you said something about a negative thought, it is because it's a lie. And this is so interesting, because how many lies have we, you know, other people's perceptions, things that we misinterpreted at the time because we didn't have the experience. We were too little, and we didn't have that understanding. And then to revisit it now with a little bit more maturity, a little bit different positioning of, you know, our view and our hearts and where they are, and with more forgiveness. And I love that you're doing even grounding meditations, because it's when we're grounded and connected with Earth, with everybody, with consciousness, that we have all of those all that extra support. And so with when you reached out, you know, to your one, is it Carly Black, you said? Yeah. And then her mom, and then so like, that's so, like, right there, just to have even one person and then two people, like, how much, you must have felt like the whole world was lifted off your shoulders, so you weren't alone.
Yeah, and I actually, Julie's daughter, Danielle, has personalized meditations for me, like, specifically for what I need. And it's just, I work with all three of them, and they've become my best friends. I've never met them in person, but that's the power of social media. That's the power of those connections. That's the power of just opening up your heart to be, so, you know, to allow yourself to realize that you need help, that you don't have to go through life alone, and just allowing God and the universe to send these people to you that you need, because they are out there and they're ready to help you.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And so every day you do these things, and one of your lessons learned is when that voice of negativity and doubt creeps in, show at the door.
I love that. You're not here. Yeah, it has, you know, shut the door loudly. My 3-year-old slammed the doors, you know, I slammed the door in negativity's face.
Oh my goodness, I love, you know, it's so true. Actually, it's funny. I was thinking about how the other day, see my kitty cats, they're not doing something bad, of course, because they never do, they're perfect. But when they do something that maybe it's not safe, or I don't want them getting into, I clap my hands loudly to get their attention, like, you know, and it kind of changes that, like, their attention is completely, like, what, you know?
It's
like that with us. And so you almost have to tell that doubt when it comes in. It's like, no. And one of the doubts you do talk about, which is your second one, and I love this one, and this is a huge one for everybody right now. Number two, Nicole Jacobs here, and her lessons learned. Don't compare yourself to others. No one can bring to the table what you alone can. I think that's huge. It's massive. It's giant. Because that one thing alone, when you start comparing yourself to others, oh my gosh, it's so painful.
It is. It is. And that's something you have to, I think, is more prevalent, comparing yourself to others, because of social media. Social media has been a huge blessing for me. It's allowed me to get my story out, to receive help. It's how I co-authored a book. It's how I'm going to be speaking at an event with my business coach, Erin Oxley, in March, because of relationships I made on social media. But, you know, when you see a happy face, and oftentimes, you know, happy faces of me or other people, you're only seeing a glimpse of that person in that moment. You're not seeing how, you know, maybe I was freaking out right before I took that picture or made that live video, and I had to go into my grounding because my head was spinning and I was stressed and, you know, trying to pull my hair. Like, you don't see all those moments if you just focus on seeing, well, that person right there has it all together. That's how happy her kids are. Kids are never screaming. Kids are perfect. She has a great job. She's always beautiful. It's so easy to start comparing yourself and feeling less. Actually, the first time I came out not too long ago and went Facebook Live with my story that is in this chapter, it took me months to get to that point. Every time I would go to do it, I would literally get physically sick because the thought you know, going public and sharing something as serious as suicide, because people don't view me like that at all. You know, people tell me all the time, they're like, I never would have thought. But when I came out with that and with that pain and showed people that side of me that they weren't used to seeing, it was amazing. The feedback was so amazing and encouraging. And I had a lady reach out to me in Messenger, and she had been following me, and I didn't even realize she had been following me. And so, you know, just don't look just at your likes, your comments. People are watching you, like they are watching. And so she reached out to me, and she told me, you know, a really touching, deep, painful story of where she had been and what she was going through. And she said, you know, I watch your videos, I see your posts, and I'm thinking, you know, you're just always so happy. You're always so inspirational. I wish I could be more like you. And, you know, and then she was talking about how seeing my vulnerability, and yeah, I am a real person. I've had real pain, real serious pain. It gave her hope, you know, and she was reaching out to me for help. Yeah. So it's so important that we show those sides of us, show every side of yourself.
Yeah. And what actually, I want to clarify too that what that lady had said, which is so beautiful, like, I wish I could be more like you. I want to share with the listeners, that isn't what we were talking about when we said don't compare yourself to others. What that is, that she, you know, this lady was looking, not up to, but looking at the realness of Nicole, and the leadership. And I want to use that word very, very specifically, because it's not a comparison, like, I don't have this and you do, as a judgment. It's, that is beautiful, and I recognize the strength and the self-love in that other human being right there, and my heart is opening up, and I want to align with it and vibrate like it. And so I just really want to share that, because it's so important. Like, I just, your light is so bright too, and I'm just so attracted to it. Just like all these authors, I mean, all the authors, everybody, you're like, it's just so beautiful. And I just, it brings me up. It makes my light so much more shiny and vibrant. And you guys have always picked me up, even to every time I do a show with any of you. I'm just like, oh, I can't wait for guys. The love. And so I do want to encourage everybody to reach out. Like, first of all, let's do that right now. How can people get a hold of you right now? If they even want to see your Facebook, because you are just rocking those Facebook Lives. They are just so much fun to watch. So let's invite everybody right now. Where can they find you?
They can find me on NicoleJacobs@Facebook.com. I believe I've got my book here. Our book, our wonderful compilation with these amazing, amazing entrepreneurs, strong women. And I believe I thought I had my link in here.
Everybody, I've got to say this because I messed up her name. There's an H in there. It's Nicole Jacobs.
Yes. Yes, it is. It's Nicole with an H. Yeah, I do. Like, on my first page of my chapter, which starts on page 116, you can find me online. I've got my email address there, Nicole Jacobs, and then April23@gmail.com. The A is capitalized. And then you can find me on Facebook. It's Nicole.Jacobs.35. Yeah, and they can go to the I can't remember the exact name of it, but we have a book community. And they can go to that community, and they can find me in there too.
Yeah, so what self I've got to do with the book there. It's just, and got everybody just that you send your Facebook Lives are so much fun. And now, here's another really cool thing I'm so excited to share. Now, we still have a couple minutes for commercials, so I can run into this one. You literally, so the really cool thing about your chapter, and I don't like to give away too much because I want people to buy the book and then read the chapter, but because of this, you're strong, like you said, you're very strong. You said stubborn, but I mean the word strong. You're a very strong woman, very beautiful soul, and have wanted to make a career. You wanted to use this in your career at editing, and you're determined to find a way. And the first time, the first model's not always right, but you did, you know, keep searching and look for the right team and the right place and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is a good opportunity because of what you have decided to, you know, chosen as your career. It is the coolest thing I've actually heard of, and I really want to stand by this, and I want you to share, because we have 2 minutes before I go to commercials, and then we can talk about it after. But you actually include positivity and support so much in your life that it is your career.
It is. It's absolutely my career. So I was with a health and wellness company. I've been with a couple of health and wellness companies. I'm actually with another health and wellness company now. But my personal brand just kind of found me. Like, everyone told me, you know, your brand will find you. I was like, what's my brand?
Mm.
It'll find you. And then after growing myself through EFT and meditation, it just became so much of a part of me that I was sharing it constantly, getting, you know, 2,400 views on my Facebook Live, so much more than with the products that I was selling in the company. Everybody's reaching out to me with their stories, with real pain, wanting help from within, you know, so much more than what just a supplement can provide. And so a friend of mine that had just joined a spiritual network marketing company, the first one ever, she reached out to me because she knew my Facebook screamed it. It screamed it.
Mm-hmm.
And so she said, have you ever heard of this spiritual network marketing company? And I said, no, but I was really intrigued. And when I saw that they offer resources to people at an extremely affordable price, like people who can't afford business coaches, to teach about these things, to teach about meditation, to teach about ridding yourself of negativity, to teach about personal growth, to help you on so many levels, it was just me. I was like, I'm already doing this stuff. This is absolutely who I am. And I'm, you know, why not make this a career? So,
yeah,
and it's just absolutely been phenomenal.
That is actually something. So this was perfect timing to the commercial is going to sneak in. But you know what? When we come back, because when we get to live what we love, it is life changing. So when we come back, we're going to talk more about loving life.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations, to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese. And guess what? Egg roll showed up. Like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and theshelterpetproject.org.
I'm so excited that we're back. Hello, everyone. We're here with Nicole Jacobs. She is one of the co-authors in the wonderful, one of my favorite books, What Self-Love Got to Do With It. This is the most incredible month for self-love. This has been layer upon layer. Oh, my gosh. And I'm so excited to get back to the specific story with you, Nicole, because when we titled this particular episode Surrender, and really the shape of surrender look like? What does the shape of your look like when you need to surrender? And one of the cool things, and I want to bring the topic of career into this, is because I see so many people in honest to God pain because of their job and what they have to do, let's call it, for money, or what they have owned that they have to do. And there, even myself, actually, at the beginning of this year, I really thought, you know, I love being a nutritionist, and I really want to reopen my practice, and I did, and I actually had to make the decision that it didn't feel right anymore, and I had to not do it, and this was a tough one. So this was like surrendering to my innate knowing of what will make me happy. And so if you could just share with people that, because it's hard to go from one thing to the next and all the judgments of others and who you let, like all those things. Can you share a little bit about what you had to go through to come to your peace, to your joy in your career?
As far as just switching companies?
Yeah, because you'd already, you had people. Yeah, you created something that you had to step away from and surrender to another. And if you could talk a little bit about what situation you were in, a little bit, because I just know that there's listeners right now who are in a position like, I can't do this. I can't quit. I can't leave this. I can't do that. I can't, because of blah, 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 my family, my people, da, 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 da. And what it takes to make a transformation, to make a difference.
Well, like I said, just the day that I had never, ever, ever planned on leaving this last company that I was with. I've made so many solid connections and friendships. I went to an event in Orlando in May and just clicked with these people so much. And I've had a really positive response from them. I mean, I haven't had any backlash or anything for leaving, but there was a fear there because, you know, I had thought that was where I was going to be. And most of the fear was I didn't want to let down these people that I'd become friends with. I didn't want to lose their friendship. And thankfully I haven't. But, you know, but I just knew this was for me. And I was always telling people, you know, you have to go with your core. You have to go with what's right. And, you know, what's right today may not be right tomorrow. And I would be a hypocrite if I didn't follow my core, and I would be miserable. And, so I just trusted. I was like, I'm just going to do this. I've got to, you know, little Nicole can't come back out and, you know, who's afraid of what people will think of her and try to do things to make people happy, sacrificing her own happiness. I have to be big Nicole, and I have to do what I know is right in my heart, regardless of the outcome. So I made the choice, and, you know, I didn't really think about, you know, anything bad that might come of it that day. I'd loaded up my kids. I took them to Dollywood theme park and spent the day together and celebrated making that brave decision. And all the signs were around me. Like, even when we saw the fireworks going off in the sky and the song that played by Katy Perry, it was like I had all these signs and these number signs around me that I had made the right choice. And it has been right and been affirmed to me every day.
Gosh, you know what, I love, you know what, from now on, okay, wait, I'm wondering if I want to change or surrender to trust, because I love that you said that I have to trust my inner self, and it, so surrender can sound vulnerable at the time. Maybe when we do finally just surrender to allow, oh my gosh, maybe it's what we need to do is we need to surrender so that we can hear our inner voice, and then when we hear that inner voice, then we trust it.
Absolutely.
I love that. And, oh my gosh, that was huge what you said right there was you celebrated the decision. Oh my gosh, I love that so much, because how many times do we make a decision, but then we feel bad about it? Like, okay, I've made the decision. I'm going to do it. And then we tell ourselves lies like, you know what, I made this decision, but now I'm going to lose these friends and they're not going to like me. And then this is going to happen. And then I'm not going to get my last paycheck. And then,
yeah.
But you celebrated it with joy and playfulness. Like, oh my gosh, you had fireworks. Ah, that's
yeah. And I think especially, well, entrepreneurs are go, 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 go. I'm a multi-passionate entrepreneur. I have like so many projects going on all the time. And I mean, I even get so overwhelmed. I have to step back and say, okay, what is important today? What do I need to do? And most of the time, as my business coach, Aaron, teaches me, that has really started to explode my success is just have fun. You got to have fun. You got to celebrate those wins. You know, how many times do we have a win and we just go on to the next thing. We go on. Mm-hmm. Take the time and celebrate. Take the time when you're with your kids to be fully present. Don't be thinking about your business when you're with your kids. When you sit down to work your business, be intentional. But take the time to just enjoy the process and just enjoy every step along the way. Enjoy how everything is helping you to grow and where it is going to lead you. And once you relax and you just kind of surrender all of that and just like, she teaches me too to allow the how to come to you. I always knew that God would bring me to the what, but I thought the how was up to me. And I would find myself stressing how to make this work. How do I do this? Which training do I listen to now? Who do I reach out to? Well, when you just surrender and you allow the how to come to you, everything is going to fall into place. And you're going to find so much joy. You're going to work a lot less hard. You're going to see more results.
Yeah, I love that. You really will. And the results is huge. I love when you said be present with your children, because, well, everybody knows they talk about the cats so much. But I just love them, and they're my babies. And so, you know, before every show, now, Lucy is supposed to be co-host, and she knows that. And she'll kind of, like, she's flaky on her position here. But every time before any show I do, so even before, you know, our show right now, I always take the 10 minutes just before, because I let them know that, you know, they're more than welcome to join the show. But and you know what it is, it's just I'm showing gratitude and letting them know that Mama is so happy and she gets to go do what she loves to do, and that they're so calm and they're not judgmental. You know, it just puts me in that, like, their mind meditation. And it's also a, what, like you said, you get to celebrate it. And people can celebrate things in so many ways, that, like what you said, just being present in a moment is a celebration. Mm-hmm. That's a beautiful,
yeah,
beautiful place to be there. So in your, I want to jump to the mindset tips here. You've got, and that's exactly, that was one of them. Become more aware of all the goodness that surrounds you each day. And this is important. Do you have something that kind, I mean, you're natural at it now, but what helped you to start getting into the habit of that? Because we can let a whole, like, people can ask, absolutely let a whole day go by, and they don't, and they haven't, and they forgot. So what is there something that, how did you make sure you did do it accountability-wise?
Just, you know, gratitude. We hear that so often, to be grateful. You know, start your day with gratitude. And so many times, like, especially in network marketing, when you say start your day with gratitude, I'm like, no, I want to start my day with income-producing activity. I want to get on social media. You know, I want to work. And it's like, take a moment and breathe. The work's still going to be there. You just got to take a moment to be grateful. And for me, I can have, like, the worst mindset when I'm in the house. There's something about coming out here to my backyard with the trees, my animals, the leaves, the wind on my back. And I just, like, even if I don't know what I'm grateful for, I just start writing. There's something that happens when I write. It's like I unleash my soul. And, you know, they say write down 3 things that you're grateful for. I can write 20. And they just flow right off my pen. And then it puts so many things into perspective. And, you know, there's so many things that can bring us down. There's so, so many more good things around us. And you just have to train your mind each and every day, because it is something that you learn how to do. It's like exercising your body. You've got to exercise your mind to get you to that place each and every day.
I love that. I love it. It's just that it just flows off my pen. I love it. And the neat thing is, you've mentioned that twice now, and I really want people to hear this, is that you talked about before, like, even when you don't know what you need to tap about, you just start tapping. You just start tapping. And it's so silly, because I know even sometimes I love tapping. It really helps me as well. Sometimes I'll just know I'm upset, and it's hard for me to even acknowledge that I'm upset, because I just don't like it so much. And I was like, no, I'm really upset. Oh, girl. You know, I'm squishing my teeth together, and I'll just kneel down. And I'm like, I know I'm upset. And maybe I don't even want to admit it. And it maybe it won't come up, and maybe it will. So I do just start tapping. And that's the same as what you just said about journaling or writing. You may not even know what's going to come up, but you do just start. And I want to make sure I squeeze this question in before we have to go. But your last mindset tip, which, oh, my gosh, this is so tricky. And your chapter does talk about it. But it's distance yourself from those who are constantly negative and complaining. They will drag you down with them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that was a, there's a lot in there. But the one thing is, negative is one thing, and complaining. You know, people can complain with a smile on their face. And, you know, we have to learn how to recognize that. When you're around, like, what if you lived with somebody who's constantly complaining or negative? What advice or help can you offer to them?
You know, that's tough. I mean, it's, I have removed so many negative people from my life, or just people who are like, the world is ending. The world is ending every day. You've known them for years. Every time you have a conversation, the world is ending. So-and-so did this to me, you know, and it drags you down. But when you live with somebody, you know, I'm not really in that situation. So it's kind of hard for me to give advice when you live with someone, because you just, that's something that's just going to take a lot of inner work, because you're not physically going to be able to get away from that person all the time. You know, try to take a few minutes when you can. I like to meditate. I like to have my warm coffee in my hand, or a warm cup of tea. It's just soothing to my soul. And just ground yourself, you know, reach out to me, reach out to people who can help you learn meditation and tapping techniques to ground yourself, because you can literally create like an energy field around yourself where you don't allow others' messages and negativity to come into your area. And it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of practice, but it absolutely can be done.
Okay, young lady, you were wonderful, because you know what? You do. You said, I don't actually really know, but then I have to highlight. You used two words that really are big. There's going to be five of them, but soothing. That is such, you know, you've got babies. You know that this, what do we call it a soother for a reason. We are trying to soothe a little bit of the pain, a little bit of the frustration, a little bit of that crazy or conflict. We want to soothe. So like what you said, you offered, you know, a warm cup of tea or coffee because it's so soothing. And so if there's one thing, everybody right now, if you're struggling and you just really don't know, you just find a thing that's soothing. And the other thing you said, Nicole, is you got to do some inner work. This is not about them. This is not about the other person. This is like, you know, Nicole wouldn't have been able to do any of this. You know what I mean? You decided to say, I need to do this inner work. And every day you're on yourself. Like, what do I need to do? I need to, you know, I wasn't, you know, use that income producing activity. But it's a thing. And I love that you said about reaching out. So again, I do want to just do that one more thing so people can reach out to you, because you on your Facebook page, which is Nicole with an H, Jacobs with an S, Nicole Jacobs. You put your number 35. I think you must have set that up when you're 35 years old. But on your Facebook page, you know, you guys can reach out to Nicole without even having to reach out. You are reaching out just by witnessing her, just by being a part of her, just by seeing her message. And you don't even have to give a thumbs up, but you can certainly. And so what can people, when they go to see your live, your Facebook lives right now, what are they all about? What are you focusing on?
You know, I just focus a lot on my journey. I think our stories are so important. And oftentimes in life, we think that we don't really have a story to share, but you do have a story to share because you're a unique individual and every story is powerful. And so I always just kind of like, you know, to introduce myself and what I do and how I'm here to help others create the life they were meant to live. Through inner work, and I just kind of, a lot of times I just blend in my story and my struggles so that people can see that I am a real person. I'm just like you. I've been where you are, and I just talk about things that have helped me. And you know, a lot of times I'm not big on planning my life, because if I write out a lot of notes, I get nervous and I feel like I have to stick to the notes and then I left something out. I just go, like, I just find what has inspired me today. Who has a story? I interview a lot of people with amazing transformational stories, and you know, I just kind of go with whatever's in my gut at the moment. Whatever comes off my tongue comes out, and I just put it out there, and I just let it do its thing.
And then, yes, and if people certainly have comments and questions, then it, just like right now, like you're saying something, and then I'll like, oh, wow, no, this is a good one. We need to hear this. And I love that you said that every day. Go every day, ask, what has inspired me? That is huge. Do you hear the power in that? That's huge. Every day to ask that question. What has inspired you today? That's huge. That right now, even like I'm thinking, I'm pretty grateful, but wow, I don't know if I even asked myself, I'm going to write that down. What has inspired you today?
Yeah, it's amazing. And I really love the Gabby Bernstein cards. A lot of times I will post one of those that I've pulled for the day on my Facebook story. And they're just like, they're just really good affirmation messages. And like, I'll just pray over them and just pick a card. And, I think the one that I picked before I came on the show that I was just going to focus on for this message was about bringing light into the world, you know, and it's just a really good reminder that you have so much to share. You know, pick up a pen and paper. It can be just, you know, it doesn't have to be anything expensive or elaborate. Go outside, listen to the birds, just but take the focus off of yourself for a moment. And when you start to look outward, you're going to see so much opportunity and you're going to be so grateful.
You know,
everything will fall into place.
And I have that trust in that. You know, I just love to be able to wrap this up, like, end on that, because you know what you just said, which is so perfect. Honestly, what self-love is taking the focus off yourself. Take that pressure mm-hmm. off yourself. Look outward and see what's just around you. And that is self-love, is to be able to give yourself that moment. So I know we have to say goodbye, and it's really sad because they always fly so fast and everything. But I want to thank you so much, Nicole. And if they want to, you know, go to your Facebook and see you, email you, or put all the links up, and even grab, you know, everybody get in the book. Grab the book, What Self-Love Got to Do With It, and read all the chapters. And Nicole's is on one, well, her bio's on 116. 117 is where the chapter starts, my favorite number 17. And Nicole, thank you so much for sharing this time with us.
You're welcome. This has been really awesome for me. I was really nervous, not knowing what questions I would be asked. And I had to do my grounding. I had to let it go. I had to just say, I'm just going to say whatever comes to me. I'm not going to worry about the result. I'm just putting it out there.
Oh, it was absolutely beautiful. And I can't wait for everybody to just continue the journey with you. So thank you so much. Okay, everybody, we'll see you guys tomorrow at noon. More self-love. Bye-bye.